Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
All right, well, this morning we are still in our series on the greatest commandment, and this morning's session is how to love God with all of our mind. And so we've been going through heart, soul, mind, and strength. So next week will be strength or whatever. Yeah, I guess that will be next Sunday. But today's how to love him with all of our mind. And this is a really powerful truth in the Word that I'm excited about. I feel like last session when we were talking about our soul, many of you were so, you know, gracious and just, man, that was great. And I was like, I felt like I rambled up here and said the word soul about 100 times. But the thing about the last week's message related to the soul is it's so nebulous. It's not tactile. You got to reach kind of deep within to even discern what are we talking about when we say the soul. The mind, however, is as concrete as it gets. I mean, we can go really clear today, so I'm grateful that we get to follow up last week's message with mind. But before we jump into how do we love God with our mind, I want to talk about the subject of truth. I want to talk about truth for just a few minutes, kind of lay a foundation here of where we're going and what we're doing today. Because to love God with our mind is going to require that we're using truth. Because you couldn't love God with your mind and use lies. Love God with your mind and use the world's ways. You're going to base it on the truth. And so I want to talk about the truth for just a few minutes. And let's start with John 8:32, a verse you guys know well. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want to talk about the concept, the power of knowing the truth. Jesus makes it really clear. If you have access to the truth, and rather when you know it, that truth in and of itself is powerful, and it can free you from things. So the facts of truth, the truths of the scripture, the truths about who God is, the truths about who you are, when you know the truth, that truth has power on it. It has power to overcome lies. It has power to set you right, to awaken your spirit. Truth has power. Now, that's awesome because that's the kind of resource that we've got in ample supply if we'll just dig a very little bit, okay? It's not like money that's hard earned. It's not, you know, something that you got to really make happen. It's the truth is accessible in the Word of God. And what Jesus tells us is when you know the truth has the power to set you free from things, from bondages, from lies, from habits, from distractions. There is nothing that truth doesn't have power over. So this is really good news for us. Truth, it's got power, but there's an even greater level of connecting to that power than knowing it. We just talked about knowing the truth. Now, let's talk about loving the truth. Because you couldn't love it unless you know it first. But just because you know it doesn't mean you're happy about it. Doesn't mean that you actually embrace it. Doesn't mean that you love it. But look what the Word says about loving the truth. Love does not delight in evil. This is 1 Corinthians 13:6, and then I'll read you something out of 2 Thessalonians. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with truth. Love recognizes truth and says, that's awesome. I'm going to rejoice with that. It delights in truth. It says here in 2 Thessalonians, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Love the truth. Now, there's a difference, and I want you to start thinking about in your own minds, heart, soul, emotion. I want you to kind of do a self-assessment here and think about where you're at on this progressive scale, because we got one more. We're going to start with know the truth. Then we're going to love the truth. And then lastly, we're going to talk about live out the truth here in just a second. But let's camp out here on this love the truth thing. There are a lot of truths that you know that you may not yet be on board with the fact that it was God's idea, it's a good idea, and you should be totally all about it. You want to go on the journey in your own, you know, minds as you assess truths that you're not so excited about. You want to just own the fact that the problem is with you, not with God or with the fact that the truth is the truth. When you face a truth and you don't like it, you need to immediately start doing a kind of a self-check and go, there is something wrong with me. Because it is impossible for God to lie. And if this truth, if it's in the Word, if it's reality, if it's about who God is, about what He says, who I am in the Word, about how He sees my neighbor, my friend, my enemy, if I don't like that truth, my lack of like for it does not indicate its validity. My lack of like for it actually indicates my sinful state. And if we can start to get on board with the Bible says it, therefore it's awesome. It's right. It's good. When you begin to love the truth, you enter into a whole nother level of power, even surpassing knowing the truth. The fact that you know that, you know, buses are constantly, here I am with the bus analogy, always with the buses. Standing on the street, and the fact that you know that the buses are coming by really, really fast, that knowledge could keep you from stepping out into traffic and getting mowed over if you paid attention to it. It could. But man, if you're like, man, I know that's true. I saw somebody get mowed over by a bus one time. I'm for sure not going out there. If you've embraced it, if you're like, if you've got a revelation that that truth is for real and it matters, you're going to actually be entering into a whole nother level of protection by that thing. And remember, the truth has power to set you free. Loving the truth is going to allow that power to touch you even deeper in your soul. So it's just a little point of practical application this morning. The areas where you know there are truths in the Word that you're not particularly fond of, go on the journey of falling in love with them. I mean, it's God. He wrote it. He can't make a mistake. The fault is not with Him or the Bible. I promise you, it's you. I know this because I know it's me. I look at the Word, I'm like, I don't like that. I don't. Turn the page. Let's go to a different Bible verse. You want to go, Lord, help me to love the truth, because a love for the truth is even more powerful, but it's not near as powerful as living it out. When you embrace it and apply it in your life, it goes from a knowledge to even a heart love and appreciation, a recognition that it's right and good. When you go past that and you go, therefore, I'm going to do it. It touches something completely different. This is where transformation occurs in your lives. Truth has power to transform us if we'll actually embrace it, if we'll apply it. John 3:21, but whoever lives by the truth. I love that line. Lives by the truth. Not just that we know it, not just that we love it or like it or appreciate it, but we've chosen to make the truth the path we will live on. And not just truth in the general sense, truth in every specific sense. This truth says this, therefore I'm going to do it. This truth says this, therefore I'm going to live it. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Next verse. If we claim to have fellowship with him, this is in 1 John 1. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth. Live out the truth. The truth will set you free, but only if we live out the truth. We got to live it out. And so as we're going to talk about this morning about the mind, all of this stuff starts in the mind. The truths start as a conversation in your head. I mean, it's on paper first, but then you either have it read to you, sung to you, preached to you. Somehow or the other, you hear the truth, and now it's bumping around in there, and now you got to decide what to do with it in your mind. But we want to lock into the fact that if we will actually live out the truths that we see in the Word of God, there is tremendous power for our lives. We walk in the light when we live out the truth. That term, live out the truth, it's really not mysterious. It just means we apply the Bible. I mean, it's really that simple. The Bible says true stuff. Every word out of the mouth of God is true stuff. We go, true stuff is right, it's good, and now I'm going to choose to apply it as best as I know. And you know the kindness of the Lord? If you try to apply the Bible and you do it wrong because you just don't know what you're doing, He will help you do it better next time. I mean, you don't have to have it all figured out. You just got to have a giant yes in your heart and try. Yeah, so you don't have to be perfect about any of this. You just got to give it a whirl. Just give it a start. Go, I want to live by the truth. I want to walk in the light. I want my life to be marked by truth, not marked by me, not marked by culture, not led by what the stereotype is for my life because of my age or, you know, where I live. I don't want any of that's not my life. I want to live out the truth. Think about that. Living the truth, living out the truth. What better form of life is there than to live day to day, moment to moment, to live out the truth? That's powerful. Well, you knew I was going to circle it back to the greatest commandment, because that's what we're doing here. Deuteronomy 6, 3 through 5. Just look at this. It's the truth empowers us to love. That's what happens. When we have the truth, when we are walking in the truth, that actually empowers us to love God. So the subject of loving God with all of our minds, it actually starts with truth being applied. And when we do that, then we are actually loving God. Look at what it says. Hear, O Israel, be careful and obey. Can I just tell you what that says real quick? Hear truth from God and then apply it to your life. Hear the truth and obey it. Apply truth to your life. Hear, O Israel, be careful and obey that it will go well with you and that you may increase greatly. It will go well with you if you apply the truths of the word of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This greatest commandment passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's one that we've quoted 100 times in this series. And it's right there that we see it. Hear the truth. Hear the words that come out of God's mouth and then put them into practice. So today, as we talk about loving God with all of our mind, let's recognize that it's really, if you want to get down to just the most simple, what are we talking about? It's the application of the truth of God. That's how we love God mostly, is we're thinking about what is right, good, and true, and then we're acting on it. All right. Well, let's endeavor to love him with all of our mind. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. Let's talk about guarding our thoughts. What does the word say? If we're talking about loving with our mind, and our mind is what's bumping around up here between our ears, if loving him with our mind is our thought life, it's our motives, it's our memories, if loving God in all those areas, then how do we actually practically do this? Colossians 3 says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. It's a constant battle for us that we live in this world, but not of it. That we live in Texas, but we're not to be of Texas. I think I got a little of Texas in me, actually. We're to live in this world, but not live of it. How do you do that? Here's how you do it. You're experiencing life, but you're not setting your mind on these things. Instead, we're learning to set our minds on things above. This is a pretty powerful reality that we can do this. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. You have power in your mind to think thoughts. It's the most profound thing you've ever heard, right? My pastor said this morning, we have power to think. You have power to think. You have power over your thoughts. Paul says it this way, there are some thoughts you are allowing to run around in your head like a fox with a lantern attached to its tail, and it's setting everything on fire. You got to take that thing captive, put it in a cage, and stop thinking about it. Listen, you have power. The word of God would not say take captive your thoughts if you didn't have the power to take captive your thoughts. I want to give some of you a very helpful resource this morning. Some of you are allowing your minds to think about whatever the heck your mind wants to think about. Stop it. Take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. There are some thoughts that are totally out of bounds. You shouldn't think about them. When that thought comes to your mind, instead of giving into it, you should rebuke it like you're facing the devil. Instead of going, oh, that's a neat thought, or oh, that thought is a... Like, there are so many thoughts. There are fiery darts fired at your brain from the enemy in order to get you off track and double off track. You have power, however, to tell your thoughts to shut it. You can take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. This is a pretty violent, like, take captive. He didn't say, like, you know, run away from, or, you know, like, kindly shackle. I mean, he said, take captive, like, go take a prisoner. Who's the prisoner? That thought that you shouldn't be letting run around in your head. It's catching everything on fire. Seriously, guys, this morning, some of you need to hear this morning. You have to stop thinking about that thing, and you have power to do so. You can take that thought captive. You can set your mind not on earthly things, because whatever it is that's out of bounds, it's an earthly thing. Stop it. Stop thinking about that, and instead set your mind on something else. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things of the kingdom. Guys, it's really as practical as you're driving down the road, you have a thought that is not helpful, and you say, thought, go away in Jesus' name. I'm going to think about this instead. And then you think about that instead. It's really not hard. Now, I recognize there are moments where we are under like a real oppressive attack, and it's like that thought just keeps coming back, keeps coming back, keeps coming back. Keep standing against it, and the devil will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Just don't give up. And don't go, oh, this is just me. This is just how I am. This is just what I think about. This is just my personality. All of those are excuses, and they're not true. You have power over your thought life. So don't think that thing. Stop it. Tell it to go. And then get somebody to come pray for you and have them help you pray that it would go. But don't just give in. Devil will get you so far off track. All right, so that's guarding our thoughts. I mean, imagine you post a bouncer at the door, okay? And he's there, he's a big dude. And he's like, no, that thought can't get in here. admitted, whoa, hold up, you can't come in. Guard your thoughts, okay? That's thoughts. But let's talk about motives. I'm going to read you some of what Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6. Look for the motives. We're not actually talking about praying and fasting and giving at this point. We're talking about the motives here. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. This is Jesus addressing motives. Because the act of righteousness on the outside, it looks like you're doing a good thing. But Jesus is like, no, I'm trying to help you figure out how to handle your motives inside of your own mind. Like, be careful not to do that right thing for a wrong reason. Be careful about your motives. He says in 6:5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Be careful of your motives. The motives are interesting because no one knows what's going on in your head except you and Jesus. And that's why the passage about David, God saying, you know, don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. I know what's going on the inside. I understand what's you know, clicking in there and how fast the hamster's turning on that wheel. Like, I know what's going on inside of a person. It says, don't assess from the exterior. This is why we've got to be careful with our motives, because there is a way for you to look pretty on the outside and be all sorts of defiled within, okay? You want to watch your motives. And it's a great question when we're talking about, I want to love the Lord my God with all my mind. You can't be on that course and be unattentive to your motives. Your motives matter. It's part of your thought life. Your motives are part of the way that we love God. And so what you do, at least what I do, I see an ill motive and I go, oh my gosh, I can't believe that guy. He's such a sinner. I'm like, oh no, it's me. I'm the sinner. Lord, help me with my ill motives. Lord, this is a bad motive. I'm still gonna do the right thing. I'm still going to do the right thing because that's right. But please help me to have a right motive. Help me. See, the Lord wants to help us. The greatest thing about this whole greatest commandment thing, it's more important to him than it is to you. So if you'll just say yes and try, he'll help you get better at it. whatever it is, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and anything else you can come up with. He will help you if you'll submit the process to him. He wants to help you. So with your motives, you identify them. You go, oh, Lord, help me. Matthew 6:16. Yeah, sure, why not? We'll do these other two. When you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is talking about all the areas of motives, that the things that are actually going on inside of our mind, our reasoning, our logic for certain things, why we do things the way that we do, what's actually going on inside of us. He says, where your treasure is, that's actually where your heart is. He says, the things that you're giving yourself to, that's your motives are aimed at that. So take note if those things are good or those things are bad that you're aiming at, that you're investing yourself, your time, your energy, and your money into. He says, these actually is indicating your motives. There's a lot going on in there. It says you want to be careful with them. You don't want to just allow those motives to go unchecked. I just imagine sometimes how many people are going to show up before the throne. Part of the reason I think this is I've heard of people having heavenly experiences where they actually went up and they had an encounter with the Lord. And the Lord was mostly, not always, but mostly checking their motives. And there were things on the exterior that looked okay, but there was ill motives within. It's like, oh, if we're going to love God with all of our mind, we've got to go ahead and be vulnerable with at least Jesus about our motives. Say, Lord, check me and see, you know, check my thoughts, check my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Help me in my motives that I would love you with good motives, with right intentions. Well, the last one I want to point out related to just the realms of our mind, the ways that we love God with our mind, is being careful with our memories. And we're going to spend a little bit more on this here in a few minutes, but Psalm 105 verse 5 says, remember. Remember is one of the most frequently used admonitions in the Word of God. It's not the most, but it's one of the most. Actually, over and over, it's remember, remember. Now, what that tells me is God is into memory. That's an indication to me. If there's hundreds of examples of the Lord saying to the people of God, remember, 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 then to me, that tells me that God, the Holy Spirit, recognizes there's power, there's importance, there's value in us managing our memories. Well, your memories are definitely your thought life. They're all bouncing around up there. We want to be careful with them. I think between these three things, guarding our thoughts, managing our memories, and then also being careful with our motives, I think that may not be the fullness of what our mind is, but those are some good starting points as far as how do we practically learn to love God with all of our mind. We got to be careful with our memories. We got to be careful guarding our thoughts, not to let thoughts in that really have no place in there at all. And then we got to watch our motives. All right, well, let's go back to this setting our mind thing. Romans 8:5. This is a powerful gift that we have been given if we will use it. And some of you this morning, I just want to tell you, maybe you've never thought of this before. Maybe you've never given any attention to this. Your life can be changed if you will learn how to set your mind. If you will set your mind. Romans 8:5 says, those that live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You could say, set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Setting your mind, you have this power. And unfortunately, you've got your own flesh trying to get you to set your mind on the things of the flesh. You've got the culture around you trying to get you to set your mind on the things of the flesh. And you have a very real enemy trying to get you to set your mind on the things of the flesh. However, you don't have to. You can set your mind on the things of the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, in the very beginning point, as you're kind of beginning the journey of how do we do that, you've got to identify what is the truth. What is setting my mind on the things of the Spirit? What are the things of the Spirit? I can't set my mind on the things of the Spirit if I can't identify what the things of the Spirit are. Go to the Word of God and start to make inventory. What are the things of the Spirit? What are the ways that we can meditate on the things of the Spirit and think about those things? Because if you will set your mind, you will set your course. You will follow the path that you set yourself. You hoist that sail and you aim the front of that boat that way. And then guess what? In a few minutes, you've gone a good bit that way. You set your course and you do it with your mind. Let's see. The power to set your mind. I think this is just awesome because there's a lot of things that are outside of my control. I love it when I find something I can actually be in charge of. Maybe it's that control freak thing in me. I'm working on it, I promise. But this concept that I can actually control some area of my life and aim it at God in a way that I actually, like, I have power over. That I'm not just powerless in this world, that whatever happens to me happens to me. I'm actually in charge of my mind, and I can set my mind. This is a really powerful thing. Well, I don't know if you know this or not. Some of you probably need to hear this morning. Your emotions will follow where you set your mind. If you feed this in your mind, your emotions will attach to it and your emotions will grow related to whatever it is that the thing is you're thinking about. If you will set your mind on things above, if you will set your mind on the things of the Spirit, then your emotions will attach more and more to the things of the Spirit. Your emotions, and we all know what it's like to be an emotional roller coaster, an emotional train wreck, to have an emotional mess going on. And we all like it better when our emotions are going a direction that is good and pleasing to us and those around us. It works better, okay? You want to be in charge of those emotions. It starts with setting your mind. What are you going to think about? Because I'll just tell you this. Those thoughts that come into your mind that you should not give any attention to, if you continue to give attention to them, emotions, many times dark emotions, will attach to those things. You have got to be that bouncer at the door and guard your thoughts and not give yourself to thinking about those things. The Lord says, set your mind, set it on things above, on the things of the kingdom, on what is right and good, set your mind. And then as you do that, and setting your mind is not a one-time thing, it's again and again, it's a realignment. But as you do that, your emotions will follow. You will find yourself fuller, healthier, wholer. Now, listen, I want to tell you, because I recognize in a teaching like this one, really in a lot of these, when we're focusing on heart, soul, mind, and strength, I recognize it can sound like, well, okay, so then I guess you either do this perfect or you don't do it at all. Totally not true. I want to let you know, I struggle in all of these areas, but I do know the truth. And as I set myself, I'm talking about me personally, as I set myself in these areas, I see strength and I see grace and I see the Holy Spirit touching these things. I still make mistakes. I still totally think about things I shouldn't think about. I have things in my heart that are unhealthy and ungood. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about aiming, setting, direction, intention. You are going to make many mistakes. Give me grace to do the same. But when we make those mistakes, we know what the truth is so we can get back to it. So we can set ourselves again and go, okay, shake it off. Shake it off. This is the direction. This is the way I'm going this way again. We have got to be a people that know the truth, and that even when that truth gets shaken in our life or decisions wind up having us take a left turn or whatever, we know the truth and we get right back to it because we've set ourselves on that course. This verse in Philippians talking about guarding our mind. Philippians 4:7. It's the Lord will do it. But I want to give us this verse because it's another one of those empowering tools. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it's a partnership between us guarding and God guarding. It's this partnership, and it's beautiful because as we ask the Lord to help us. Now let me tell you what this looks like and what it doesn't look like. Here's what it doesn't look like. God, guard my mind. And then you open up your mind to think about something horrible on purpose right after. That's not going to work. Here's how it works. God, guard my mind. And you find your thoughts drifting in ways that they should not. And you go, help! He goes, perfect. That's all you could do. All you could do is cry. That's perfect. It's not just give in, and it's not think on it on purpose. It's not try to thwart the purposes of God by running the opposite direction of what you're asking for. It's partnership. He says he is a way to guard your mind. Don't you want your mind guarded? Especially with God help? I want my mind guarded with God help. So that as I have thoughts, the peace of God would be guarding me and actually helping me to stay thinking about right things. I just want you to go on the journey. To love God with all our mind is going to take God's help. But that's the whole point. He wants to be involved in the process. You didn't start a relationship with a far-off deity. You started off a relationship with one that said, how do I get closer? Oh, I know. I'll live inside of their guts. I will come live in them. Then they're never far, and I'm never far. So it's not the God far away. It's the God who's in you. He's in there, wherever that is. God lives inside of you. He has made the commitment as loudly as he knows how. I am committed to you. I'm committed to partnership. And I'm committed to help you with the thing that I said is the greatest value in the kingdom, to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants to help you. He wants to escort you. But it does take the partnership. Just James 1:5 is just so clear about everything. But man, in this journey of needing help, loving God with our mind or soul or strength or pick it. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. This Bible verse, it says wisdom, but what word could you put in there that would be untrue if you read the rest of the sentence? Like, what could you put? Like, if any of you lacks, you know, help, if any of you lacks strength, if any of you lacks, what? The point is that actually a principle about who God is, that when we ask him for help, he'll help us. So whatever you lack, if you lack the ability to control your mind, if you lack the ability to care about what is right, good, and true, if you lack the understanding of what the word of God says, if you, wherever you lack, ask him. He will help you by his spirit within you that is called the teacher. He will lead you and help you. He wants to instruct you in this. Here's my objective this morning, is to get us committed to a vision for our progressive love of God with our mind. Just think about it this way. Whatever age you are, imagine 5 years from now, please imagine a version of yourself where you're loving God with all your mind in a greater capacity, not a diminished one. Imagine yourself on a journey of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength in a growing way, as opposed to a stagnant or declining way. And by the way, I'll just tell you, for any of you who've got a vision for your stagnancy, can't wait to be stagnant. It's my favorite. Probably nobody. It doesn't work that way. You regress. There is no such thing as staying where you're at. You're moving forward or you're moving backwards. There's just too many turbulent factors in life for you to stay right where you're at. If you think you're staying right where you're at, you're losing ground, I promise you. I want for us to get a vision for, okay, there is such a thing as loving God with all of our mind. That's a thing that exists. If it's a thing that exists and I want to do better at it, I want my mind to be more engaged. I want to love you with my mind. Show me areas of my mind I didn't even know I could love you with, and help me love you there. The Lord wants to help us on the journey. And then give yourself a little bit of patience. Give yourself some time, because it's a process. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes. We are in the process of growing in the grace of God, in loving him in every way. All right, well, let's end with some practical tips. So a lot of this was just kind of this is what's happening in the battlefield of our mind. These are the scenarios that are occurring. This is what's happening. Let's talk about some practical ways to actually love him with our mind. First, confront unhelpful mindsets. Unhelpful mindsets. I'll name a few, but you could name 50 more. Confront them. You know what confront means? Get all up in their face. Not I kind of have this issue. No, I have this issue. I don't like it. God help me. Confront it. Get right up in the face of unhelpful mindsets, because I'll just tell you, unhelpful mindsets diminish love. Unhelpful mindsets. It's impossible for you to be giving yourself to unhelpful mindsets and grow in loving God with all your mind. Because you're giving yourself, it's the whole opposite thing. You're running this direction and asking God for this. It doesn't work that way. You've got to address unhelpful mindsets. So here's just a few of them, but I mean, there's a million, okay? Shame. You cannot love God with all your mind if you are giving yourself over to shame and condemnation. You just can't. Well, yeah, but I really did the thing. You probably did. Well, doesn't that mean I feel shameful? No, it means you should feel repentant and then get over it and move on. Yeah, but I did the thing. I'm sure you did. But the voice of you did the thing, therefore you're bad, that's not God. That's the enemy. You're letting the enemy win. It's an unhelpful mindset, and it's diminishing love. You can't possibly be loving God with all your mind while you're over here in the shame penalty box. Like you can't. It's impossible, because all you're thinking about is how bad you are, not how good he is. So your mind is thinking about something totally unhelpful. Totally unhelpful. Now, it would be different if the Bible said, you should be ashamed of yourself and sit in the shame penalty box. You can't find me the verse. It ain't in there. He says, repent and move on. If you repent, it's real. You go, God, I did it. The enemy says, I did it. I did it. Forgive me. He says, forgiven. Sin separated as far as the east from the west, washed with the blood of Jesus, cleansed of all unrighteousness. Now let's not talk about that anymore. Yeah, but stop with the yeah, but. You yabbiters, you better stop with your yabbits. No yabbit. It's done. Move on. It's an unhelpful mindset. And friends, some of you in the room, you've got a lie that somehow is making you think that is righteous to live in condemnation and shame over your sin. That's a lie. Now, you must be repentant, but be repentant and move on. Get grace from God to do better tomorrow. Just keep going, okay? Shame and condemnation is a very unhelpful mindset. Bitterness and jealousy. Man, I just feel like social media has helped all of us have so much bitterness and jealousy, right? You just look at everybody else and you go, oh my gosh, and they're living their best life now. I want to live my best life now. You better watch how you're going to get bitterness and jealousy a place in your mind. And it'll destroy you. Friends, whatever else somebody else has, that's not a portion to you. Who cares what they have? What's a portion to you is what's a portion to you. Honestly, you don't want what somebody else has. Because it also comes with responsibilities and baggage that wasn't assigned to you right now. You want what you have. And you want to always ask God, bless me, help me, prosper me. But not, they have the thing, I want the thing. And I'm bitter at them because they got the thing and I'll get the thing. Bitterness and jealousy is an unhelpful mindset and you'll destroy you. And I'm saying this because I recognize what it is to look at an Instagram post and go, whoa, that's crazy. That's awesome. That, wow. But then I also know what it is. The next line is, oh, I wish I had that. God, why haven't you done that for me in my life, in my relationships, in my circumstances? Bitterness and jealousy, see, you got to guard it. You can't help the fact that you're in the world, but you cannot give yourself over to its mindsets, which is why you've got to post a guard at the door so that you can see the Instagram post and go, whoa, that's awesome. Lord bless my friend, but not give yourself over to bitterness and jealousy. See, there's nothing wrong with Instagram. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. And I'll just tell you, if we'll learn to be good at guarding our hearts, we'll start to feel the lies, the accuser. We'll start to hear the voice of the enemy coming in. We'll go, no, friend, you can't come in here. I'm not going to give you a place. I'm not going to give you a place. Well, there's a long list. I'm not going to go into them right now. Let's talk about our memories. God wants to work in all things for your good. You know that, Romans 8:28? We know that in all things, God works for the good. Not of everybody on the planet. This verse gets misquoted sometimes, makes me cringe. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Well, if you love him, you've been called according to his purpose. You love him. He's working for the good. I want you to take that verse into your memory life. And go, that thing that happened to you, that's a tough one to swallow, find where God was working for the good, because he was, or his word's a lie. You want to redeem your memories. There are some memories you need to stop giving thought to. There are some memories, especially for y'all that were living out in the world like a crazy fool before you came to know Jesus. There are some memories you just need to flat stop thinking those things. You need to not give them any place. There's not a place for some of those things. There are some memories you need to forget on purpose. There are other memories you need to reflect on that are actually helpful. There are some memories you should dwell on, and there are some memories that are sinful that you should not dwell on, you should not think of. Your memories take up so much space in your day and in your mind. When you start to think about it, much of what you think is a reference to a previous experience. Much of what's happening is a reference or just a straight up memory that you're like remembering things. You want to be intentional with your memories. You want to love God with all your memories. If you've got a memory and it's not honoring to the Lord, for whatever reason, you want to ask the Lord to work in that for your good, to help you love him even in that memory. You want to start to take your memories before the Lord. And again, I just think about this. This is a big part of our life because we remember everything. Yeah, don't say that out loud, Brad. Good. That was self-control. I just did so good. The Lord knows. Okay, amen. There's so much about our memories that take up so much time in our day and in our thought life. We want to be good at navigating them. And again, I want to get you thinking about this. There are some things, there are some memories that you want to take before the Lord, and you want to ask him what he was doing, where was he, how he was moving, and not with your finger pointed at him. You want to go like this. Go, Lord, what? You work for the good of those who love you, but this situation was really tough. Help me find you in it so that this isn't an owie memory for the rest of my life. So that this isn't like I can't dialogue with you about it. This is some secret part of my heart that you and I can't talk about. You want to get redemption even in those memories. You want to talk them through with them. You want to reflect on the memories that are helpful. And there again, there are some sinful memories you just need to not replay. They're not helpful. It's just not beneficial for you. Renewing our minds with the word of God transforms our minds. This is back where we started at the beginning, knowing the truth, loving the truth, being able to then apply the truth. You want to renew your mind with the truth. Here's what the word says, Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what? You know why you renew your mind is with the words of God. You can't renew your mind with anything else because everything else is tainted and untrue, or at least has the potential for untruth. You renew your mind with the source of truth. The way we renew our minds is with the word of God. Because on our hard drive, we've got things written, some of them true, some of them false, some of them half true. The word of God renews the code and sets it right. This is the truth about that. This is the truth about that. We renew our minds with the truth. We need to fill ourselves with the word of God. And as we do, we then have power to overcome. Look at this, Ephesians 4, verse 23, 17 and 23. Don't live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Just think about that. In this passage is specifically talking about the lost that don't know God, okay? And the Gentiles at that point, but could be anybody. It says, don't be like them in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding. Don't allow your minds to be like meditating on the lost things and the lost world. The futility of their thinking, they have no access to truth, but instead be made new in the attitude of your minds. You were like that. Don't be like that anymore. Get a new attitude of your mind. Renew your minds with the word of God. Friends, this is one of the reasons being in the word is so important for every believer. It is so important. Because you have so many wrong ideas. You're just like me. And those wrong ideas will cause you to make wrong decisions. But the word of God plumb lines, corrects, adjusts, straightens up. It makes the path straight. The word of God is how we renew our mind. We must be a people who are in the word of God. If we're going to love God with all of our mind, don't trust him with what's already in there at default. What is in your mind is probably not a good idea. Let's renew our minds with the word of God And then we can actually have the ability, because we'll know the truth and the truth sets you free. You know, there are plenty of believers that gave their life to Jesus but did not continue in the Word of God, and they are operating in so much folly, so much untruth, so much pain. So, because it's not just being saved sets you free from every future bad decision. The truth sets you free from whatever decision is applying to that truth. We got to fill our minds with the truth. We got to meditate on the Word. Look at Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You might even want to ask yourself, how much bread am I eating? How much word am I eating? I like me some carbs. How much word am I eating? Because Jesus said, you're not going to make it if you just eat the food. He says, you need the Word of God. You survive on the Word of God. That's how man lives, truly lives, is on the Word of God. And then lastly, practical point, how do we love God with all of our mind? Paul just went for it. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, so start to make inventory, truth. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. You find something lovely, think about it. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. Think about things that are good, noble, excellent, praiseworthy, true. Think about them. Don't think about things that are gnarly, defiled, lustful, angry, and mean. Don't think about them. Get the bouncer at the door. He bounces out all the bad thoughts. Go, no, you can't get in here. I'm not going to give myself to thinking about you. Instead, I'm going to set my mind. And I'll just tell you guys, listen, this is just a really simple reality. Find yourself some defaults off this list. Some easy go-tos. Easy because you're going to be in a moment here later today where you're going to start to think about something that is not helpful for you, and you need an instant off-ramp. You need something right away that you can transition your thoughts from, instead of having to go, well, I don't want to think about the bad thing, but I just can't think of anything good to think about. Figure out a couple of defaults that are some go-tos for you guys. If anything is, and then Paul gives this long list, make your decision to set your mind on the things above, on the things of the kingdom, on the things of the reality of who God is and who he's made you to be and what he calls you to be. Set your mind on those things and not on the earthly things, because they'll destroy you and they'll diminish your love. That's it for me, this whole series about loving God. It's like, I really hope for each of us, and I mean me, that as we're talking about these themes week after week, that we're actually growing in love for God. Not diminishing, not stagnant, not neutral, because remember, that's just a slippery slope. I want for us to grow in a way to love God with all of our mind. And I'll tell you one thing for sure. If you will set your mind on things that are helpful and true, you will, in that moment, be able to love the Lord, and you'll also set your path, your trajectory, that will really help you. Just remind you, you're in charge. Love him with your mind. Let's use it to love him instead of just letting our thoughts run rampant. You are in charge of the thoughts that bump around in your head. Take them captive, set them, and choose to love God with them. Start thinking this way. Are these thoughts loving God right now? Lord, help me to love you with my thoughts right now, because I've got thoughts in here right now that are not loving you. Help me take those thoughts captive, make them obedient to Christ, and then set my course, set my mind to love you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.